Grace and mercy and peace be unto you, from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Havel havelim, says Koheleth. Vanities piled on top of vanities. Emptiness. Nothing. Vapor. All is vanity. Wealth, fame, celebrity, power, all of it. Vanity. It's nothing. Chasing after the wind. You build a business, and a fool takes it over and drives it into the ditch of bankruptcy. You amass a fortune and are buried next to a poor man, and your children and grandchildren squander every one of your hard-earned pennies. Vanity of vanities. The race doesn't always go to the swift. The winners are often cheaters. Hard work is not always rewarded. Often it goes unnoticed. You can't take it with you. All that you've gathered up with your blood, sweat, and tears. Your toilsome days, your sleepless nights. The moment you take your last breath, it slips through your cold, dead hands. Vanity of vanities. You can dull your senses with food and drink, which are gifts of God. But if that's all there is, if daily bread is eaten without a nod to the one who gives the seed to the sower and bread to the eater, then life is nothing more than food processing, a fleeting joy at best. Last night's gourmet dinner is this morning's indigestion and 5 extra pounds. Vanity of vanities. You work out at the gym, but the body still ages. You nip this and tuck that, even as you outwardly waste away day by day. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Chasing after the wind. Depressing, isn't it? It's depressing to think that all our hard work is nothing more than chasing after the wind. That's why some people can't even summon the energy to get out of bed Monday morning. A man in the crowd summoned Jesus to be his probate judge. Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Two brothers are bickering over the dead father's inheritance. Their time of grieving was brief. Bury the old man and divvy up his portfolio. All his hard-earned assets and wise investments were now in the hands of two bickering fools. Jesus will have nothing to do with it. Man, who made me to be judge or arbiter over you? I came to save the world by dying and rising. I came to be judged, and I will come to judge the living and the dead by my own life and death. I came to save you, and you're concerned about your savings account. Take care. Be on guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Covetousness. There's a word we don't use very much anymore, do we? We want things. We want more things. We want better things. Consumption drives the economy ever upward. Greed is almost a virtue in our culture. And our culture knows how to push the greed button. It used to be an enticing magazine and television ad promising wealth, health, and love if you just bought this product. Now it's a world of artificial intelligence and algorithms, listening in on every comment, every purchase, every search, dangling that next little thing that you have to have, that thing that will make you happy, with nothing more than a click. Idolatry, when viewed from the inner perspective, is rather frightening, isn't it? A darkness, an emptiness, a dryness. Idols consume their communicants from the inside, leaving an empty shell of nothingness at the core of their being. This is life without God. Life uncentered. Life without Christ in the middle. You are created in Christ, redeemed in Christ, made holy in Christ. And without him at the center of your being, your identity, all you do and all that you have will be vanity of vanities. Nothing, empty, chasing after the wind. We should fear and love and trust God above all things. God is our maker, redeemer, sanctifier, the center of your life, your being, your work, your play, your everything. He is the hub on which all the spokes of your life hang and work together. He's not the first priority of your life. He's more. He is the center of your life. He brings meaning and purpose and satisfaction and contentment to all things, whether success or failure, whether in richness or poverty, with much or with little. The Apostle Paul could write from prison, "I can do all things through him who gives me strength," speaking of Christ. For without him, without his spirit, without his word, you can do nothing that will last. The grass withers, the flowers fade, and so eventually do you. But the word of the Lord endures forever. There was a man who had a lot of stuff. A rich man whose portfolio was set for life and more. His land appeared to produce a particularly plentiful crop one season, and the harvest presented him with a problem. Where to store that surplus grain? His silos were already overflowing. His barns were at capacity. And you know how it is with closets and garages. We always find a way to fill them. And then we want to buy a bigger house. He sat down at his kitchen table one night and started planning. What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. I know. I'm going to tear down all of my barns and build bigger ones to store my grain and my goods. And then I will say to my soul, "Soul, you have it all. You've got it made. Now you can retire. Kick back and eat and drink and be merry." You notice all the "my's" there. My crops, my barns, my soul, my grain, my goods. He never once prayed, "Give us this day our daily bread," to acknowledge God as the giver of all of these gifts. He never once confessed that God made him and all creatures, that God in his fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in him, had provided clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, land and crops. He never once gave thanks to the Lord who was good to him. He never enjoyed the gifts because he never recognized the giver. He could have rested, had Sabbath, enjoyed the gift of food and drink and thanksgiving. He could have stored his excess grain in the mouths of the hungry. He could have slept at night in peace rather than burning the midnight oil, designing new barns in the presumption that he had tomorrow and the next day and the years to come. But he was a fool. Fool, throughout Scripture, isn't just name-calling. A fool is one who does not recognize God in the center and who focuses on the gift rather than the giver. Fool is God's word for those who do not recognize God at the center. Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? Fool chases after the wind. Vanity of vanities. Know who you are and who is at the center of your being. You are baptized in Christ. Christ is the center. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Christ is the center of your work, your play, your worship, your wealth, your possessions. He was rich but became poor. He lived our life under the sun. He worked, he rested, he bled and died. His death was not a vanity of vanities, but a holy of holies. He redeems and reconciles and raises up your work out of its emptiness and meaninglessness. And he lifts it up as a sweet-smelling priestly sacrifice. He is the heart and center of all things. Your land, your house, your wealth, your barns and silos, your grain, your profits, your portfolios, everything is God's, not yours. They're on loan from God. You are stewards, caretakers. You are not your own either. You have been purchased at a great price, the life of Jesus, his blood, his death. He became poor that you might be rich in eternal riches. You are God's treasured possession, enabling you to hold your treasured possessions with that dead hand of faith, offering, sharing, giving. Be rich toward God in faith and hope and love. Be generous in offering charity, letting that surplus grain flow generously through dead fingers of faith. Cling to Christ tightly and hold your possessions loosely. Eat and drink and live each day with joy and thanksgiving, because centered in Christ and filled with Christ, living in Christ, nothing is vanity. Amen. Now may that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Thank you.